From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of his fourth message in a series of studies in the law of God. This week, Dr. Cairns has been focusing on the terrible truth of the curse of God's law. In Galatians 3, verse 10, we read, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." As we've seen, the law exposes sin for what it really is. Then the law condemns sinners for their sin, for all who fail to render a complete and perfect obedience are under God's curse. Furthermore, the law condemns sinners for seeking salvation by partial obedience, trying somehow to put God under obligation to them by what they do. The Scripture states that the law of God commends and accepts perfect obedience. Yet, who can say that he or she has perfectly obeyed God's law? The answer to this dilemma is found in the God-man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who perfectly obeyed God's law, and who suffered the penalty of that law for those who will receive him as their Savior and Lord. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the conclusion of this message called The Curse of the Law. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Psalm 119 and verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts. There are times when solitude is better than society, and silence is wiser than speech. We should be better Christians if we were more alone, waiting upon God, and gathering through meditation on His Word spiritual strength for labor in His service. We ought to muse upon the things of God, because we thus get the real nutriment out of them. Truth is something like the cluster of the vine. If we would have wine from it, we must bruise it. We must press and squeeze it many times. The bruiser's feet must come down joyfully upon the bunches, or else the juice will not flow, and they must well tread the grapes, or else much of the precious liquid will be wasted. So we must, by meditation, tread the clusters of truth, if we would get the wine of consolation therefrom. Our bodies are not supported merely by taking food into the mouth, but the process which really supplies the muscle and the nerve and the sinew and the bone is the process of digestion. It is by digestion that the outward food becomes assimilated with the inner life. Our souls are not nourished merely by listening a while to this, and then to that, and then to the other part of divine truth. Hearing, reading, marking, and learning all require inwardly digesting to complete their usefulness, and the inward digesting of the truth lies, for the most part, in meditating upon it. Why is it that some Christians, although they hear many sermons, make but slow advances in the divine life? Because they neglect their closets, and do not thoughtfully meditate on God's Word. They love the wheat, but they do not grind it. They would have the corn, but they will not go forth into the fields to gather it. The fruit hangs upon the tree, but they will not pluck it. The water flows at their feet, but they will not stoop to drink it. From such folly deliver us, O Lord, and be this our resolve this morning. I will meditate in thy precepts.
Lead the way. Come and darkest night, showing sins of doubt and fear within my heart, showing self-confidence and pride, the rebel thoughts that plague my mind, then it brings cleansing hope that quiets my heart. So as we read your holy word, help us see, Lord, help us learn. Holy Spirit, from its pages lead the way.
And let me see glimpses of truth you have for me. For in your word I find the truth that sets me free.
As you listen to today's broadcast, we'd like to express our appreciation to those of you who make Let the Bible Speak a regular part of your day. Over the years since LTBS has been on the air, we've heard from many folk who have been blessed and encouraged in their Christian lives through these programs. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring this Christ-centered preaching and God-honoring sacred music into your home, vehicle, or workplace. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, whose messages you hear on the broadcast, LTBS is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, which is produced in Northern Ireland. It may be that you have wondered about the origin and purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church. Stated briefly, the Free Presbyterian Church is a denomination that stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, please contact Faith Free Presbyterian Church at their toll-free number 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. Or you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Someone from the church will be glad to get in touch with you and to provide you with further details. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, www.fpcna.org. Again, that's www.fpcna.org.
Thank you. what's the story of the life of Christ? It is the story of his continuing in all things that God wrote in the book of the law to do them. It is the story of perfect, impeccable, sinless, spotless obedience to God's law. It is the story that Jesus expressed in the words, I do always those things that please God. So Christ is blessed. We read tonight of the blessing of Abraham. That really is the blessing of Christ pronounced on Abraham. If there were any way for sinners to be united to this one, accepted by God by the standards of the law, if there were any way for sinners to be made partakers of his divine nature, if there were any way for sinners to be invested with his righteousness, then those sinners would stand blessed and accepted before the holy law of God. And bless God, that's what the gospel of Christ is all about. That is the very point of the gospel. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's the final great truth about the curse of the law. God has accepted Christ, and he has accepted us in Christ who shed his blood for us. Christ, by his life, fulfilled the precept of the law. Christ, by his death, paid the penalty of the broken law. Christ, who has perfectly pleased God and fulfilled his law, has received the blessing from God, not just for himself, but for all who believe in him. So that what you can't gain by works, you can gain by Christ's work. What you can't obtain by doing, you obtain by believing. Bless God tonight. He hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? By being made a curse for us. It brings me to a very solemn conclusion. The curse of God's law must be executed against every sin of man ever committed. Think that through. The curse of God's law must be executed against every sin of man ever committed. Jesus Christ does not redeem us from the curse of the law by abrogating the law. No, he does it by fulfilling the law. He does not redeem us from the curse of the law by simply, as God, wiping out the curse, eradicating it from existence. No, he does it by bearing the curse. By bearing the curse. By taking all the wrath of God against sin. By taking upon himself all the fury of a broken law, Jesus Christ fulfilled its sentence. Jesus Christ paid full homage, if I could use the word, to the sovereign purity of God's law. And only by bearing its curse could he redeem us from that curse? That's the gospel. That is the gospel. Christ died for our sins. Christ was made a curse for us. Where is the curse of the law? That's a very important question for me tonight, for when I look into this heart, I find myself still a sinner. The more I've studied God's law, I have to be honest with you, the more I feel I don't even have the right to stand behind a gospel pulpit. The more I've studied God's law, the more I've come to recognize the words of Charles Wesley, "Vile and full of sin I am, thou art full of grace and truth." So it's a very big question for me. Where is the curse of God's law against my sin? I thank God tonight. I can look away to that place that Bunyan described, that place somewhat ascending, that little hill crag called Calvary. I can see there on that center cross the blessed, blessed Jesus take all the curse of God for me. I've quoted the words before, and I have no doubt I'll quote them again. In one almighty draught, he drank damnation dry. He took the cup of God's curse and he drank it to its last bitter dregs. And now there is no curse for me. The blessing replaces the curse for all who believe in Jesus. I hope tonight that you have begun to see sin for what it really is, that you've realized the condemnation of a holy God through His law against you as a sinner and a lawbreaker, and even as a partial lawkeeper. But I trust tonight that God has pointed you to Calvary. God will pronounce His curse against your sin, either in Christ or in you. Either at the cross or in hell. I wonder, which will it be? Which will it be? As we close this meeting tonight, the thought strikes me, I look out in a sea of faces. Every man, every woman, every child here, a vile, wretched, guilty, rotten, filthy, hell-deserving sinner. The curse of God is real against all our sin. And yet some can point to a cross where the curse was burned out in Christ. And others are going on under the curse to face the wrath of a sin-hating God. Which is it with you tonight? Which is it with you? May God speak to your heart. If you're not a Christian, may God give you, perhaps for the first time, a sight of what you really are. Divest you of your pride and bring you as a penitent soul to the old rugged cross. That's why we sang that hymn tonight. I want every man and woman to leave this house because of their experience of grace, going home singing, "Hallelujah! Hallelujah for the cross." Let's bow our heads in prayer. O God, our Father in heaven, we cry tonight that Thou wilt take Thy word in all its awful solemnity and write it on our heart. Lord, we fear lest there be some Saul of Tarsus. We fear lest there be here tonight some thoroughly careless sinner, some shallow, superficial professor of religion, at ease with himself, with a conscience unawakened, and the sword of God's judgment suspended over his head. Gracious Father, we ask Thee to have mercy on such tonight. We cry to Thee with all our heart that this night, O God, Thou wilt convict sinners of their sin. Lord, remove the folly. Remove the froth and bubble of this world. Lord, strip sinners of their arrogance and pride. And oh, let them see themselves as God sees them. Let them feel the workings of the curse of the law. And oh, Lord, tonight, we pray, draw them to Calvary. Lord, see of the lost tonight. God, have mercy on sinners and bring them through to Jesus. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, just before I close the meeting with prayer, I plead with you, if you're not a Christian, to flee to the arms of Christ. We sang the words of Bonner tonight, you would be saved. Why not tonight? Why not tonight? What keeps you from Christ? You'll never have a better time or a better place to flee from wrath to come. Receive the Savior. Don't leave without Christ. If you'd like to talk with me or with Dr. Allison or Dr. Barrett, we ask you to remain as the others leave. Seek us out. We can't save you, but bless God, we know Him who can. Come. Come. And come without delay. Lord, answer prayer. Part us now with Thy blessing. Keep us in Thy fear, the beginning of all knowledge and wisdom. And let the Word of God continue to do its work in every heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.